Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
At this time, there's a couple things we want to do. We want to receive an offering, and we do the offering because we want to continue to encourage those that are performing, or I shouldn't say performing because that shouldn't be the reason why we do this, but that are sharing their gifts. So I want us to also sow into their gifts and their ministries. Amen? So let's stand, and there's a container on the edge of the stage there. And whatever you have to give, it doesn't matter how much it is, but give unto the Lord and also sow into the ministries that have been presented tonight and also the ministry that's hosting tonight. Also, I want to encourage you guys that do the gospel hip-hop, because there are a lot of pastors that haven't got the vision. And I want to say this because I said this to my sons when I was growing up, when they were growing up, and when I was growing up too. As long as the gospel is preached in a song, it really doesn't matter the beat. The message is the meaning that we're trying to get across. And let me say this, every song has a message. I know we always say, and I used to say it too, I don't listen to the words, I listen to the beat. I mean, we all said that. But then you catch yourself walking down the street singing the words. And there is no beat. It's just the words playing through your brain. That's why the message that's put across by these ministers, and they are ministers of the gospel, is so important. So I say to all of you guys, let your message be centered around the Word of God. Let the Word of God be the center of what you do. Don't let it be about your testimony. Your testimony, oh, they don't even need a call. Go on and give. I'll let them go ahead and do. Your testimony is the beginning, but you should grow as you grow in God. Your song should become more mature. You shouldn't be 20 years later still talking about, I used to hang in the streets. No, by now you should have been out of the streets a long time ago. And you should have a walk to share in God. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to do all that God has put in you to do, because that's important. That is your call. Amen? So let's stand. I'll pray. We'll pray. So then you guys can go ahead and give. Go ahead, Jackie. You go ahead and give. This is one of my older sisters. She came all the way from Wichita to be with my oldest sister's daughter got married. So she's been, when's the last time you were up here? When Marquise graduated from high school. So that was a long time ago. So I just want to thank my sister for coming. My other sister was going to come, but she's always late. So she might still come right as we're closing. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We thank you for the hearts of the people. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the givers. Lord, those that have and don't those that don't have but desire to give. I pray that you would put blessing into their hand, increase into their hand, and that they would be faithful to your word to give as you commanded us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on and give, and then we're going to bring the word of God. Amen. 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 I'm glad to see the young ones give. It's good training ground. Did you guys know that only 8% of the church tithes? Did you guys know that? 8%. That means 92% haven't gotten it yet. So when you train your children to give, that's so important, because the enemy does not want the church to prosper. And I'm not talking about in cars and clothes. I'm talking about in the movement of the gospel. Can you imagine if 92% of the church, I mean, the church gives a lot of money anyway, even at 8%. But could you imagine if 92% tithe? I mean, we'd be in the trillions of dollars. The gospel could have circled the globe 3 or 4 times. And again, it's not about, you know, I need a new car because I don't need a car. That's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about getting the word of God, just like our brother Nathan was talking about, to those destitute people all over the world. And unfortunately, some of the destitute are now in America. Some of them say, amen. Some of the destitute, America is becoming the destitute, meaning that they're without God, turning away from God. And so, you know, we call this a healing service because we want to take some time to minister, not only in song, but also in prayer. So we want to give a short message, and the message is called The Renewal. Now, there's 3 things that God has done in the gospel. All right? So I'm going to touch on those 3 things real quickly. The first one, and let me give you the first couple of scriptures. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which is also what the Holy Spirit gave us as a name for our church. So 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what, you know, as I was meditating, trying to figure out what the Lord wanted us to call the ministry, that scripture popped in my head because God is about doing new creation things. The first thing that God does, gives us the new creation, is in our spirit man. Everybody say, my spirit man. Now, if those of you that don't believe this, and there is some debate in the church, there's some that believe that the soul and the spirit are one and the same, and then we have a soul that lives in our body, and then we have the spirit man, which is the mind, the emotion, the will, the thought life, all those things. And then, of course, we have the body. So God first starts with the soul being born again. Now, why does he start with the spirit? Excuse me. Why does he start with the spirit? Because the spirit is the seed of life. The spirit is where life is centered. See, we walk around as people, whether we're born again or not, we're walking around. Amen? I mean, you see all saved or unsaved folks are walking around. So there is a life that we have that's separate from God. But when God wants to do a new thing, he starts from the inside and then he works outside. Amen? And so the first thing, and of course Jesus said it to Nicodemus, he says, except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus was scratching his head trying to figure that one out because, you know, this is really, you know, we always make fun of Nicodemus, but the reality is this is the first time anybody heard about being born again. So we would have been like Nicodemus. We would have been saying, born again, born again. I don't get this, Jesus. So then Jesus says, except the man be born of water and the spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Then he explains it a little bit. He said, whatever is born of flesh is flesh. That's us. He says, but whatever is born of spirit is spirit. So we have to first be born of the spirit before life even begins. All right? And then on top of that, God starts from the inside out. And then he starts to renew us from the inside out. Okay? So let's look at the other passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And I'm going to do this quick because I'm not going to give you guys a 45-minute sermon. I'm trying to keep it under 15 minutes. Amen? Marquise is saying, man, it's hard to preach 15 minutes. Well, we're going to do it, though. 23, excuse me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Look at this. Look what it says. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your, what? Mind. Notice he uses the word spirit of your mind. Because the mind has a root of life in it that was not from God. So the mind began to think the things of the world. So God says, after you're born again, And this is where many Christians struggle, okay? We get saved, we're going to heaven, but many of us don't allow our soul to be saved or renewed, if you will. So he says you need to get the spirit of your mind renewed. What does that mean? That means you have to reject. Everybody say reject. The thinking, the thought life, the thought processes that we had before we accepted Christ. See, the problem in the church right now is that the church is starting to embrace some of its old thought processes that we were supposed to have rejected. But now it's creeping into the church and coming up with these strange and unorthodox teachings. For instance, we're starting to hear people say, well, everybody's going to go to heaven. It doesn't really matter if you accept Jesus or not. We're all going to heaven. A loving God would not send anybody to hell. And a loving God won't send anybody to hell. He has given you, just like he told the people in the Old Testament, I give you to this day life and death. And then it's like a test. He gives you two answers on the test. Here's life, and then there's death. And then the good thing about it, he gives you the answer to the test. Choose life. Don't choose death. Choose life. This is a no-brainer. We can all pass this test. Just choose life. Don't choose death. That's the wrong answer. Choose life. But many of us say, you know what? I don't believe that's life. I want to try this death thing and see what happens in it. Now, see, we don't say that, but we do that. And so God is saying, no, you need to renew your mind. The renewing of the mind means that we're going to think like God thinks. Not be like a God, separate from God, but be like him as Jesus, as the word says, as he is, so are we in this world. That does not mean we become deity. Please understand that. We will never become part of the Trinity. Only through Jesus Christ are we a part of his body. So being knitted to his body, we begin to think like Jesus thought. So we have to have our minds renewed. And what that means is we have to reject opinions that are contrary to the word of God. I mean, people say stuff like, well, I don't believe the flood happened. Do you believe the flood? I don't believe God created the world in 6 days. I believe we evolved and we've been evolving for millions and millions of years and all that. And you have to reject that kind of thinking. Now, that's hard because you hear it from the time you're 5 years old until you graduate from college. Now, I went to school forever. I was 6 years in college. 2 years were a mistake. And then 3 years in law school. So I went to school for 19 years. Not on purpose, but I was in there for 19 years. And I heard all this foolishness about evolution. And I got a hold of a book on evolution. And this is back right when evolution was breaking out, back in the 1900s, late 1900s, which means 18-something. And this guy said, if evolution were true, the population of the world would be in the trillions. Because he used the simple mathematical formula that population doubles every so many years. So if we had the first man millions of years ago, we would have trillions of people. But the biblical account accounts for the fact that we only have a few billion people because the population continues to double every so many years, and it has to be consistent with numerology if you want to get all technical, but I don't want to go there. But the point is, evolution is not supported in any factual basis whatsoever. Evolution is a faith. It's a faith. And see, we have the faith, but they're trying to change our faith by telling us God didn't create the world. And Christians are starting to believe that. You talk to most Christians and they'll say, do you think God created the world in 7 days? Well, you know, it's kind of unsure whether that's a real 7-day week or if time was different. No, look, God didn't need 7 days. He really didn't. He could have just said, world, show up, and that's the end. And that would have taken 7 seconds. But he did the 7 days for our sake, because now we still have a 7-day week. Isn't that amazing? And we don't argue about that. I don't think we have a 7-day week. I think we had 8 days. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if, no, we don't argue about stuff like that. But we argue about whether God did something that he said he did. And to renew our minds, we have to embrace what God says. And then let me say something else about renewing our minds, because this is really where I want to get to. Many of us, all of us, when we were not saved, had a tragic incident in our lives. Sin brings tragedy. And I remember, a little, and I'm going to just use a little tragedy. I remember when I was rejected by, some girl that I liked when I was a little boy. You might say, well, that shouldn't matter. Oh, no, but it does matter. Because when you like somebody and they don't like you back, all of a sudden you create this bubble and say, oh, no, that's not going to happen to me again. So I'm not going to. So now you're not going to allow yourself to be free. You're not going to trust people. And you know what? That becomes a seed that grows into a plant that becomes a bitterness fruit. And you eat of it always. And you have people who were hurt when they were 6 still walking in that same hurt at 35. Because they would not allow the Spirit to renew their mind or their soul in that arena. And that's what we need. And that's why we are crippled in our development. I mean, and so many of us have, I can't begin to touch on all of our incidences when we were young, but some of us have been molested. Some of us have been rejected. Some of us were left to on our own. Our parents didn't want us, said they didn't want us, told us they didn't want us. And that has played a big role in our development. And we don't really know how deep those hurts are. God has saved us. He's renewed our spirit, but now he wants to renew our souls. And it's the soul man that allows us to be free in him. See, when you have these scars from the past, the enemy tells you you're not worth the salvation that Jesus paid for. And he constantly beats you with that. You don't deserve what Jesus did for you. Who do you think you are? And if you allow that scar to tell you who you are, the enemy will continue to twist salvation to where it's completely ineffective in your life. You're going to heaven, but you're not effective. And that's why we got Christians that won't go out of their homes at night. Why? They're scared of the dark. Why? Because they watched a scary movie at 7 years old. And I did that too. And now they're afraid. But God delivered me from that fear. And when we read 2 Timothy 1:7, and we say, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound. Don't think that's just a nice phrase. That means every fear that you have ever had, God has delivered you from it. And don't let it dictate to you. When you go into a room, I remember when I was a kid, I got a real high temperature and I had hallucinations. I would see things, and my sister would tell you, I would see things on the walls. And I don't know if it was Jackie or Diane that came in, and she says, what's wrong, Harold? I said, there's a bear. And she says, where? And, she thinks it's a bear in the room. I said, it's on the wall. And I was seeing these images, and for a long time, I was afraid of the dark. But Jesus delivered me from that. I know that seems like a little thing, but you have to walk in the freedom that God has given you. I used to be afraid of demons. I wouldn't even watch the commercial of The Exorcist, let alone the movie. I used to get nightmares when the commercial came on. So I said, ain't no way I'm watching that movie. But Jesus delivered me and showed me that I have power over all the power of the devil. And nothing by any means can hurt me. I'm not afraid of the devil anymore. And so we have to let God's spirit, God's salvation, change us from the inside out, starting with the spirit man. You're born again. You're a new creation. Now you need to renew your mind. Let the soul be renewed. And then finally, and then we want to pray for you. The body is being renewed. Everybody say, my body is being renewed. Let me give you a picture of what's happening. Our soul is new. Our spirit man is being made new. And God gives us glimpses of heaven by healing on earth. Because we know that from the scriptures, there is no sickness in heaven. Amen? There's nobody up there on a cane, barely making it down the street. Oh, my Arthur is messing with me. You know, there's nobody up there like that. They're skipping, they're running, they're flying. Because God has healed them completely. And what he has done, now that he's renewed our spirit, now that he's working on renewing our minds and our souls, he also touches our body. And let me just give you a couple passages so you believe that this is true. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says here, it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that means you're born again, right? He who raised Christ from the dead will also, everybody say also, give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. What is that saying? That means the life that's in you can also give life to your natural body. So we don't have to be sick. That does not mean we won't be sick. Please understand that. We are susceptible to getting sick, but we don't have to stay sick if we believe and trust the word of God, like Nate was saying. The word is the balm, the medicine that we need. Amen. Now, the reason why, and then I'm going to have to close, the reason why the third world gets this better than we in America get this, is because the third world can't pick up the phone and call the doctor. I mean, their doctor's like 3,000 miles away. And he probably ain't that good. If he is good, he ain't got the equipment. So it's not like, well, call the doctor, schedule an appointment, and get, you know. No, look, I need, my leg is messed up, and I need to get back to work. I need somebody to lay hands on me. And so they believe right now, God is going to heal me. Now, I'm not saying anything about doctors. Doctors have their place. A doctor, and if any person is, if any person of medicine is honest, doctors really don't heal, they diagnose. Okay? They tell you what's wrong, which is helpful because now you know how to pray. If they tell you, well, you've got a blockage in your right coronary artery. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the blockage in my right coronary artery be cleared right now in Jesus' name. So, see, there was never supposed to be a doctor who doesn't believe and then a Christian who believes. There was never supposed to be that split. It's all the knowledge comes from God. God gives them wisdom. They just want to own it themselves. And that's why there's an antagonism between the camp of faith and the camp of medicine. But in reality, God did not make it that way. So don't be afraid to go to the doctor. That's not what I'm saying. But call on Jesus as you go to the doctor. And know that Jesus is the healer. The doctors assist him. Amen? Amen. So let's stand. I want to pray. If this touched anybody, if you've been struggling with soul renewal, your soul needs to be renewed. I want you to come and we want to pray for you. If your body is ailing, if you need God to touch your body, I want you to come and we want to pray for you. And if you haven't accepted Christ yet and your spirit man hasn't been made alive yet, I want you to come and we want to pray for you. Amen? Because that's what he's doing. He's come to clear spirit, soul, and body. He leaves nothing untouched. Amen? Amen. So anybody else, you too? Come, Marquise, come, and we want to pray. Amen. Precious, come on and pray for this young lady, and I'll pray for her.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.